Frogger Podcast number 50. It's a very special 50th episode because we're coming at you live from San Diego Comic-Con down in San Diego 2014. You'll see behind me the madness that is Comic-Con. We sat down at the Nerdist stage at Petco Park to talk with Jessica Chobot and also the best in the world, CM Punk. Did you know that CM Punk is a major comic book nerd? Well, you'll find out after this podcast. It's a very awesome special 50th podcast, our first ever live podcast in front of an audience. It's a lot of fun, and I hope you enjoy it. This podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Head on over there right now, audible.com/rocketjump. You can get a free audiobook of your choice. For me, personally, one of the things that I force everybody at Rocket Jump to read or listen to is the book Creativity Incorporated by Ed Haskell. Ed Haskell is the CEO of Pixar, and it's something that we've been looking at a lot in terms of just like how to be a company, how to be a creative company. It's a fantastic book. I really do recommend it if you're interested in how those guys at Pixar do the magical things that they do. Anyway, audible.com/rocketjump, get a free audiobook, and please enjoy our very special live 50th podcast down here at San Diego Comic-Con.
Just get going here. We are rolling, ready to go. Hi, everybody. My name is Freddie Wong. We're doing a podcast right now. This is the Face Runner podcast. To my left is Logan, who is trying to get his microphone working. I didn't know we had microphones. And he didn't realize that there were microphones involved. I'll go instead to my right, the far end there. How do you turn it on? Matt Arnold.
I'm Matthew Arnold. Hello.
Hello.
Shit. Oh, boy.
All right.
And I'm Desmond Dolly. Hello.
We are joined by the lovely Jessica Chobot, host of Nerdist News.
Woo. Hi, Jessica.
Thanks.
And thanks, big thanks actually to Nerdist and Audible for getting us a little bit of time here so we can sit back, kick back, and talk a little bit of Comic-Con.
Sit in the shade.
In the shade, yes. I feel sorry for everybody.
Are we allowed to swear?
Are we allowed to swear?
I would
try not to.
No.
No swears.
Yeah.
No swears.
No swears.
For those of you who know us, we are Rocket Jump. We make videos online. We make Video Game High School and videos, sort of short comedic viral video type of stuff you may have seen, youtube.com/rocketjump. So let's just get into it. Logan, tell me a little bit. So Logan, you're probably the biggest...
let's just get into it. Logan, do you have anything?
Yeah, awesome. I was going to say it's a little awkward. Yeah.
Are we doing I'll tell you what Logan has. Logan has a beer right now.
Are we
now.
Doing
He's
the raising hand rule? This podcast?
Yeah, we'll go.
I think this might be my first live podcast.
Oh, boy.
It is, dear. Actually, yeah.
Well, here's the thing. It's a little awkward because you just destroyed us in laser tag.
Yes, we did.
So why don't you explain
what happened? Let's get the recap.
So I don't have already forgotten. What was our score? It was something like 500 to like 2 or something.
It was a 2-1 ratio.
What did you guys manage to shoot?
I think it was like 150 to 6,032.
I think there was a glitch, to be honest with you.
Despite us obviously dominating the arena, at some point it's so hot out here, you just stand and you're running around. And that was probably the biggest workout I've had in my entire life. And I just would stand up and I'd be like, somebody would see me and their eyes would perk up. And I'm like, yeah, I know, you saw me here. You want to shoot me? I need those 5 extra seconds it takes to reload my gun in order to just breathe. So that's cool. Tank, knock yourself out. So on top of us just giving you points, we also managed to beat you.
It was pretty sad.
So is this your first time laser tagging, you guys?
This is my first laser tag, but it's not my first time. I mean, I used to play paintball a lot.
Used to do combat warfare.
Oh, yeah, combat warfare.
But it was with paintball.
You turn up the CO2, everybody thinks it's low, and you're like, no, this thing is
so
a rocket.
So what did you think about this? What did you think
about this versus... I just tried to hurt people.
How do you think this fares against paintball? Like, what's better?
It's safer. It's a lot less painful.
What about like adrenaline levels? Like, were you like, there's no danger really though, right?
Totally. Like, yeah, it's fun. It's fun. I mean, you're just, the adrenaline levels are pretty much the same. Okay. I never got into paintball to the extreme in the sense that I took it so seriously that I had all the gear and I was like really berserk about it and joining clubs. I kind of would just run out there and we'd just shoot each other.
So rent stuff and just be
plinking at each
other.
Yeah, just have fun. Yeah.
It got pretty intense though with today's game. One of the techniques I saw that on the battlefield was the light gun technique where you hold it with two hands and you use your trigger finger to just sort of vibrate.
I saw a lot of cheating where people would use their hand to cover up their...
I don't know. I wouldn't know anything about that.
Yeah, you wouldn't know anything about that, would you?
No, mm-mm. None of it.
I didn't see you do that at all.
Just call them out. Who is cheating?
We'll beat
them. They'll be beaten.
Tactical advantages is what the correct term for what I was doing is called.
Although your tank technique was pretty interesting.
It was. Logan basically got in front of me and then bear hugged me and covering the sensors, and I was able to have two. I took his weapon as well. Didn't work at the end. It wasn't enough to turn the tide.
I was actually going to go like vertical and wrap my legs around you, but I your thighs didn't look ready for it. Like, you didn't look like you were propped up for it. Did you guys have like a favorite laser tagging spot like growing up,
yeah,
like Matt and Freddie and does? Did you guys like go to like the Q zone?
Q-zar,
or like the
Q-zar,
Ultra zone?
Q-zar.
We, oddly enough, would actually play, and this is going to blow people's minds because I don't even know if kids do this anymore. We played outside in the woods in the backyard.
That's I think where laser tag started was like
in the woods.
Well, yeah. No,
in the Pleistocene period, there was a
It found its
series
way to civilization.
Of Cro-Magnon men would focus
many,
their
many
light,
moon ago, yes. The laser taggers.
No, it originally was like a military training type of thing where you have a helmet and it's an outdoors activity.
Yeah.
Well, and then it just became for urban kids.
And then it became a birthday party activity. It went from training our military to something to make fun of our kids with when they're 13.
What's your favorite laser tag like type of game? Is it like capture the flag or like deathmatch or like team deathmatch?
Just a full-on free-for-all.
Yeah?
I guess that would be a deathmatch.
Total chaos.
Yeah. Yeah. One time playing laser tag at a birthday party, Jimmy, my younger brother, lost a contact lens in the middle of the laser tag arena. Like, he was like...
And blinking. Like focused all the lasers onto the sentinel for extra points.
Well, no. He lost the contact lens. And he was like, I lost my contact lens. And I was like, fine. Like, try to be a good brother and help him out. And I spent like 20 minutes of this laser tag game finding his contact lens. And I eventually did. And like all the guys at the laser tag place were like, hey, this kid's like a hero. He found his first contact lens. And I felt good for a second.
I think we need to partner up the Nerdist laser tag experience with the Walking Dead experience.
Ah.
Strap up some zombies with some laser
survivalist
tag jets.
Techniques.
Maybe bring in some paintball
There's
guns.
Something like that in a Japanese theme park. It's an airsoft zombie experience where you go and you run away from zombies with airsoft rifles.
I find
rifles.
That not surprising at all.
I would totally do that.
I would totally do that.
They've done like the haunted house. Like, I remember there was one in Atlanta when we did our road trip a few years ago. It was paintballs and people dressed up as zombies. I remember talking to one of the volunteers who was a zombie and just like decked out with gear. I'm like, is that enough to stop? He's like, no, it just hurts. I'm like, well, why are you doing it? You're not really getting paid that much. It's like, oh, no, I like paintball. That was it. That was his only explanation for
that
it.
That was it.
He lives for the thrill, bro.
It's for the thrill. For the
so
adrenaline.
Are you guys dismayed by the lack of melee options in laser tag and paintball?
No. I don't want to get hit in the face. What are you talking about? This is my moneymaker, man.
Lack of melee options.
You know, like the paintball mode where you like pick up the paintball and spear it off the person?
Well, there is a mode where I've played where you take a highlighter, and the highlighter counts as like a knife. And if you can get like a highlighter mark on a vital organ... That's a kill
that's
in paintball.
Ridiculous.
Yeah.
That's pretty rad. I would do that.
See, Logan's okay with that. I don't know why you guys are all like
so stabbing people with highlighters.
Actually, I tried archery tag last weekend.
What is archery tag?
Very good at that.
Have you ever done that?
I have not done archery tag. I've just done archery.
Only LARPing or archery.
No, like actual archery.
LARPery.
Like just aiming?
Not
Have you LARPed before? Have you thunderbolted?
Lightning bolted, sorry. But here's the thing. I never LARPed like D&D LARP. I was Vampire the Masquerade LARPing.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so I
some
had
white wolf.
I had a Toreador and a Malkavian character, and that's who I
know
was.
Who's the Toreadors?
Toreador was like
Spaniards.
The fancy artist type.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Were they
and
Malkavian
like, was the kind of like crazy ones.
Would you battle, or was it more about like talking and like
politics
and
spells?
It was a lot of the politics, but occasionally we would run into situations where we would have to battle, and it was all based off of Rochambeau.
So this was more of a, have we discussed Nordic LARPing on the podcast?
Kevin got into it, but no, talk a little about what Nordic LARPing is.
Do you know
is.
The difference?
I've never heard of Nordic LARPing.
So there's American LARPing, which is like lightning bolt, right, with the Nerf swords. And then there's Nordic LARPing.
That's a pretty hard simplification of American LARPing there.
It's
LARPing.
Basically about battle and power fantasies. And there's Nordic LARPing, which we did with your old friend Kevin Klauber.
Yep.
Did you do it with us? Or did you
I didn't, but no. Tell me about Nordic LARPing.
Where it's all about like basically method acting as game. And so there's actually a great Nordic LARP conference in Denmark. If you guys are interested, Google it.
Okay.
Just go to Denmark.
But it's like, is it not Denmark?
No, I said just go to Denmark.
Just go to Denmark. Well, so they'll do stuff like... Holocaust survivors, where they'll actually rent out a cabin in Russia and have nobody that speaks German, and German people will go and LARP as Holocaust survivors. Or they'll do something where they're like transgender super beings in like a space Bedouin.
What?
What?
Yeah, no, and they do
this
they did Battlestar Galactica one where they actually rented out an entire battleship and like redid all the graphics inside the battleship, and it was a 3-day LARP. And so,
but what did you do during those 3 days?
Well, I didn't go to the Battlestar one. I went to one where it was supposed to be like a transcendental, like transformative, like 1970s exercise where you were yourself but with a different name, and people start breaking down and crying, and you never knew, are they actually crying? Or are they just pretend crying? And after a day, I was like, hey man, I gotta stop. This is too weird.
After you broke down,
I have no idea what you're talking about.
That sounds like
what
the least
this?
Fun LARP experience.
This is hardcore LARPing. This is like the game with Michael Douglas, but
are you
real.
Sure, that's called a cult.
Yeah, no, man. It's because after 3 days, you shake hands and you walk away. That's
it's called
it.
The Ultimate LARP, hosted by David Fincher.
Yeah.
Well, besides Nordic LARPing and laser tag, what was probably the most exciting thing at Comic-Con this year?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I saw it.
Back to subject.
In your pocket there, you found something rather interesting at Comic-Con.
Yeah.
So
Logan and Dez walked the floor earlier to try and look for the weirdest thing at Comic-Con, and
that's
think
why we were there. We weren't interested in cool things or not.
No.
Just the weirdest.
Just the off the wall. What was the weirdest thing you found, Logan?
Well, hold on. Did you guys walk the floor yet?
I have not. I've been doing interviews and stuff all day,
okay.
So I haven't gotten
to. Do you prefer Jessica, Jess, or Cho, or Chobot? Like Cho. JC?
Honestly,
Jay Cho?
They could, whatever you're most comfortable with.
What do your friends from home call you?
Chobot.
Chobot?
Really? Yeah.
Okay, Chobot it is.
I very rarely have anybody call me by my actual name.
Wait, really quickly, how did you get the nickname Chobot?
Well, it's an ex-husband's last name. And so since he wasn't doing anything with it worthwhile, I decided to just keep it when we got divorced.
Isn't it like an anime?
Chobits is the anime.
Okay.
Chobot is just, what is it? It's Russian.
Is it actually Chobot, or is it like Chibit, and you're like, I need to make this sound more sci-fi?
No, it's Chobot.
Okay.
Interesting.
Legit.
Do you guys
because
ever say
Chobot
with like
a, doesn't sound sci-fi enough.
Do you guys ever say it like a machine, like Chobot? Like, was that always a thing?
I get a lot of Chabot, and I get a lot of Chobotnik, and Chibi-Chobo, and Chobo-Robo.
Isn't like robot is originally a Hungarian word, I believe.
So for what? For what does it mean? Blacksmith.
No, in
automaton.
Polish, I think it means
it's Russian, I believe. Automaton.
In Polish, I think it means elephant.
Oh, elephant. That's weird.
Yeah.
Do Polish people have? They've never seen an elephant.
What?
Never.
If it's old enough.
No Polak has ever seen an elephant.
Like, we're
no,
talking
anyway,
like, we're
what
talking
was the
like
most
BC
interesting
area.
Thing on the floor at Comic-Con?
So it was the only thing also to give me a handout, fortunately, so we can pass it around.
I'll unfold it here.
And it was underwear for your smartphone.
So this is in
smartphone.
The back. It says world's first smartphone underwear. Bandai has a current apply for design registration
Bandai?
And trademark. Trademark mobile pants. And in the back, you have a picture of a smartphone, like an iPhone, with underwear. And there's a good one on there. There's nine designs. There's normal, which is like a tidy whitey with a red, white, and blue like band swept across. And the whole point, by the way, is to protect the home button.
Which I don't understand, because can't you just hit the button on the top and lock it?
Well, then isn't it weird to hit the home button like underneath the underwear now? Or you have to like...
Well, no, you...
So you're pressing your phone's genitals?
Thing.
That's essentially what they're saying, yeah.
I think we should accept it's for aesthetic purposes and just operate with that premise in mind. From here on out.
Right.
I just don't understand.
So there's
it at all.
You know, there's designs, there's strawberry, there's success, there's Mount Fuji.
So Freddie.
Yeah.
Are you a tidy whities man?
I'm not a tidy whities man,
you
but
more of
my
a boxer
phone.
Briefs or loosey goosey boxers? Or nothing.
No, boxer briefs, but my phone could be wearing tidy whities. And there's one called the Good Morning, which I'm not kidding, and only in Japan. It's a tidy whitey thing over the home button of your phone, and there's like a bulge. At the bottom of the phone.
Also, Freddie and
it's kinda creepy looking.
It's ridiculous. Have you guys seen this?
There's a morning bulge.
Freddie and Chobot will sign that and give it to the lucky winner of a raffle.
There's no raffle, Logan. You can't just promise
you can't just announce raffles?
No, you can't just promise things to give away.
So, Freddie and Matt, did you guys walk the floor yet?
We have a little
what
bit,
what was
yeah.
the coolest
Matt,
thing you saw?
Didn't. I thought you Matt camped out last night.
I just camped out for 10 hours to get Magic cards. Do you play Magic?
I used to play Magic when it first came out when I was in
when it was
gosh,
cool.
like a senior in high school.
And were you cool when you played
and then
it?
I went about two packs in and then stopped.
That's not very far.
Matt, how many packs in are you now?
Was it Sundance?
Matt
remember
can't
the
even count.
Was it
Matt.
Sundance store? Remember when Sundance was around?
A year before my time. I just started.
Oh,
I got sucked
the
in
video
just
like a video store.
The video
that was,
store
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Sundance used to sell them up by
Suncoast.
The Suncoast.
Suncoast.
That's
Suncoast.
What it was.
Video,
and that's
yes.
where you could get your random animes that they would occasionally stock, and then they'd also sell Magic the Gathering cards by the checkout counter. And so I would grab them there and It was like, just, oh, okay.
Did you just stop because nobody played with you? Or
nobody would play, and I was a senior in high school. I didn't really have any money.
What made you start in the first place? Were you just like,
I had a boyfriend that was really into D&D and magic and all that stuff, yeah. And he started collecting them, and so we started when it was brand new, so nobody was really getting into it, so then he would buy me a pack, and then we'd play against each other. And
sounds romantic.
Yeah, it was okay. I dumped him.
Matt, have you ever played with Ashley?
I tried once, and she won't play again. So
how come? What happened?
She's just not much of a game player.
So I have a.
I like it. I mean, I'm really. Have you guys tried? Oh my gosh, I completely
Hearthstone?
Yeah, Hearthstone. Yeah, Hearthstone.
Yes, we've been playing it.
I like it. It's like, because part of the Magic the Gathering thing for me, at least, is eventually when I did try to get back into it, because then it had picked up and then it looked a lot more interesting, it was kind of hard to get into it again because I didn't really know what was going
on. 1,000 rules.
And I'm incredibly impatient. Like, I'm the person that does not read the instruction booklet for anything. Yeah. So
well, each
I
of those cards is an instruction booklet, basically.
Yeah, and so I kind of gave up on it and just thought, well, I guess I can't get into card games anymore. But then when Blizzard came out with Hearthstone, I was... like, oh, okay, this is a lot,
it's streamlined.
It still appeals, I think, to that hardcore card playing person, but it makes the entrance way for people that are either new to the genre or trying to get into the genre very easy to learn, and then scales it up for them so that eventually they're kind of on par with
everybody
else.
You can then spend thousands of dollars on Magic cards afterwards.
Yeah.
No, it's a good game, but they had special edition Magic cards for like $100 for six of them, and that's pretty much my entire Comic-Con experience. Was waiting in line for 10 hours.
You spent $100 for six cards.
And a 4-foot Nerf axe.
It did come with a Nerf axe.
That's cool.
Oh, that's
kind of
cool.
That's pretty cool.
That's the best.
Really, the $100 was for the Nerf axe.
Wait, was it themed?
Well, the way
that I look at
it is, aside from buying it for the cards, you're kind of buying it for the art too, because the artwork on those things are really amazing. So I don't know if you want to actually use them in the game, but if you can, I'd say frame them and put them up on a wall or something.
Matt, do you have a picture of the axe? Is it like a cool magic axe or is it like a Nerf axe?
It's a Nerf axe.
It's a cool Nerf axe.
Cool standard Nerf axe.
But is it like brown and steely and it's got like rusty blood on it? Or is it like orange?
You pretty much described an axe, so yes.
It's like that, though. But as opposed to like a Nerf axe, which is like neon orange.
It has a handle and a blade on it. Yeah,
okay, cool. Also, I got a hot tip for you, Matt, to get your girl back into Magic the Gathering. The new version has cooperative play against the deck. It's like cooperative against the system. And apparently that's a much friendlier way to get people into Magic the Gathering because you don't just pwn them instantly.
That could have been what you needed to get Ashley in on
And
Magic.
There's also four versus the system. So if you want to do a Magic the Gathering double date, I'm down, Matt.
I'm just
throwing out there.
I think that's a good idea.
We order some kimchi, some stone brews, and we just make it happen. Just you and me and our lady
kimchi
friends.
Kimchi is super good.
I got some electric candles.
Well, kimchi, right?
And you know, like real quick, for $100, you get the magic cards, but you also get the experience. And the experience, which I stopped in on, was pretty crazy. I didn't know this. I didn't know that like Comic-Con people sleep outside the convention center. Before, like, try and get in the next day. I literally didn't even realize that.
Well, I think now what they're doing, where they're passing out wristbands, but the wristbands are
done in such a way where you can't leave.
You can't, like, you can't switch out with your friends to go take a nap at your hotel room. You actually have to stay in line.
Oh, like
it's happened a lot this Comic-Con. Like, the beginning of our laser tag, we all went to the left while you guys all went to the right, and we were stuck in a dead end. And just like, and in the same situation, they'll lead us in. It's like, hey, guys, you're going to go get your magic cards. We go into a room, and all of a sudden, we're just packed like sardines with no exit and a ticket in our hands. We're like, I don't know where I'm going for the next 2 hours. It's kind of terrifying. But, you know, you get cards at the
end. Such is the nature of Comic-Con.
Were you ever such a big nerd about something that you had to wait in line for 10 hours, or is that just a me experience?
I've never waited in line for longer than like 30 minutes. That's about my cutoff. I get
and
really
what was that for?
Irritated.
That actually cuts off most roller coasters.
I mean, I've tracked people that so here's my uber nerd story. It actually unfortunately didn't happen at Comic-Con, but it happened at Bethesda's Skyrim launch party. So ZeniMax, the company that I think owns Bethesda, the CEO's wife is Linda Carter, and I am a massive Wonder Woman / Linda Carter fan. And so
You actually have your nails polished like Wonder
I do.
Woman, right?
My nails are. I'm very proud of these. My nails are.
Has
Wonder
Linda
Woman.
Carter seen them?
Wonder Woman. No, she has not.
You
but I
just
will
tweet
probably.
At her. Does she have a Twitter?
You know, I do follow her on Twitter and Facebook, and I will send her these
there
photos.
You go.
I was there, and I'm totally blanking, but one of the Skyrim developers came over. He says, "Hey, I've got a little surprise for you," and I had no idea that she was there. And he walked me over to her, and I just started like, like that. I'm like, "Oh, I just, I'm your biggest fan, and we take a picture." And then she left, and I started crying.
Oh, no.
My husband's like, "Are you excited?" I'm like, "I'm so excited."
I think I
might have
around.
Talked about this to you guys last time on the other
that's
podcast.
That's what Matt happened to Matt. You were crying when you got your magic cards this morning. You're so overjoyed.
I cry really easily about
Did you
things,
really?
So.
Matt, wait. Did you really?
Of course.
That's
you
awesome,
did?
Dude.
I'm not embarrassed.
That's a way to live life to the fullest. Hey, so I'm going to bring you back to Comic-Con really quickly. So, Chobot, you didn't actually go to the floor yet, did you?
No, I haven't had a chance.
So, let's go to Comic-Cons of yore for
yes.
a second.
The Royal Comic-Con.
What's your favorite, like, Comic-Con memory?
This might be telling too much.
No.
Go
so
for
at one
it.
Point,
Go for
I don't
it.
Know if it's my favorite memory, but it's kind of like the funniest in hindsight memory, and no. that was I had gone out one night, and we hit all the parties, and I got I over-imbibed a bit, and I woke up the next morning with half my tooth missing, my bottom tooth
Whoa.
Was missing, with blood all over my bed, and I have no idea how I got back, what fight
but
I got in.
But you were just by yourself?
And I was by myself.
You still got both your kidneys?
Yep, I'm still good.
Gnarly.
But I don't know what happened and how that happened.
That's your favorite story?
Your
like,
nothing,
you don't
I mean,
know
it's
what
not
happened.
My favorite,
mysteriously
but it's like
getting
a funny,
pummeled.
It's a favorite. But that's the thing, I didn't have any, like, I wasn't hurt, or, I mean, besides my tooth being broken, I wasn't hurt.
It's like just
like,
your tooth.
I didn't
tooth.
Have any weird bruises or black eyes. Or anything, or I hadn't gotten in, like my knuckles were fine. Like,
what's,
I didn't
what's
get
the
it.
Awesomest thing you've ever seen at Comic-Con, or what's like the most heartwarming?
The most heartwarming, I really love it when I see little kids with their parents walking around and the whole family's dressed up in
but
like
was there
cosplay.
One in particular, like an orphan with like
I saw actually today, not today, I saw a little, I mean, she must have been brand spanking new, little like 3-month-old baby dressed in full.
That's fresh. That's brand new.
Yeah, super fresh.
Right out of the factory.
Full Wonder Woman costume, and she was so cute.
Wow.
So that was, I just think that's
was
adorable.
Was she dressed like Riddler or some shit?
No, she was Wonder
the
Woman.
Riddler.
She was what?
Wonder Woman.
She was
oh, that's
Wonder
cute.
Woman.
How great would it be, by the way, if you had
a little Riddler? How many moons have you had, dude?
How great would it be, by the way? How great would it be if you had like an 8-year-old kid and you dressed him as Batman and you just like left him alone until he started crying where his parents were? He's like, "That's right, that's right, exactly."
It's Wonder Woman, and they get married the very next day.
Don't let Freddy have kids.
And someone's like, "Where's your parents?" It's like, "My parents are dead."
Well, I plan, because of the Triforce tattoo and some of the Wonder Woman, I have the bracelets and the tiara and everything at the house, and it's like the JLA trophy room stuff. I plan on, eventually, my child will be curious enough to ask me, like, what's this? And when he does, I'm going to be like, "Mommy is Wonder Woman, and those are her weapons. And this actually means you are Link from Hyrule." And so eventually, one of these days, your closet will open up and you will be transported into... I mean, I'm just going to mess with him.
Two days later, he's going to show up with a broken nose because he was telling his kids at school this absurd
Matt,
story about
not if she
Wonder
teaches
Woman.
Him Krav Maga.
Yeah.
So,
like Wonder
have
Woman.
You ever cosplayed?
Not really. I don't know how to sew. I think when I was younger and I started coming to the con in the beginning, I always was like, "Oh, God, I'd love to dress up. But, you know, eventually the con became work. And then work became a lot of work. and then on top of it, I can't sew. And I feel like I'm kind of one of those people where I know it's acceptable to get your costume, and it's all about the fan experience and just kind of enjoying yourself. But I feel like I'd be cheating if I didn't at least make my costume to a certain extent.
Have any of you guys cosplayed?
No. Nope. That hasn't happened on Halloween. That's it,
Logan. By the way, everybody, I've always
said
this.
I feel like you're
Logan
leading
should
us
cosplay
you want us to ask
as
you.
Thor.
You
like, look at the dude's hair. Like, if
no,
you
I haven't.
No, not happening.
I haven't. Well, no. Wait. If you guys want to give me a Thor costume, I'll put it on. I actually got a Boba Fett onesie for my birthday this year, so
I've never seen you wear it. You should have.
Well,
brought
no,
it.
I literally got it last week.
Why? So, why are you not walking around in the Boba Fett onesie?
I greatly regret this. But no cosplay for
well,
this guy.
Well, and here's
yet.
The flip side to the cosplay as well, is like, most of the time you're good, but on days like this or seasons like this where it's so hot and muggy, I just can't imagine having to like trudge around.
Well,
in
there's certainly thinner
so
cosplay
hot.
Items. Like if I went as Conan or
well,
Tarzan,
that's a good point. Yeah.
I'd be set.
Nobody wants to see you as either of those two things. Like you know, if I could just show off my six pack.
So wait, yeah, my six.
My six, my eight.
I've been told that I look a lot like this anime character who like. It's like a kind of pudgy Asian guy with square glasses in an anime called High School of the Dead who is obsessed with guns in that anime. Everyone's like, you should just go as him. I'm like, I feel like
what,
I shouldn't.
What about that guy from Heroes?
Oh, hilarious, Logan. Fantastic. You too? Really? My mom still gives me crap for me looking like the guy from Heroes.
Hero, isn't his name Hero?
Hero, yes. Like, yes.
Okay. So what was your guys' first Comic-Con? Like, was it like a few years ago?
That's a huge thing. It's coming back.
The perils of podcasting outdoors, everybody. Bugs. What was your first Comic-Con, Logan? You were born and raised in San Diego.
Gosh, probably like 1997,
1996. Ooh, what was it like then?
A lot less people. Hall H was easy to get into, and the movie helpings were quite skimpy, and it was really about the comic books.
Really?
Yeah, I remember those days when Comic-Cons
were you here back then?
I wasn't here for San Diego, but I've been to a couple out in the Midwest, and I remember, yeah, it was comics, and now it's not anything to do with comics, really. It's about the movies and the TV adaptations and what parties you can
get into.
Are you
sad about that, or you're like, man, bring back my...
No, I'm a little sad about that. You know, it's both fun, but also sad to see the things that you kind of grew up with change.
So do you have, like, a favorite... Wonder Woman, I'm guessing, is your favorite comic book character.
Yeah.
What about you guys? Do you not have one?
Spider-Man.
Spider-Man?
It would honestly probably be Spider-Man. And that's from Spider-Man 2, the movie, not comic books.
What about you, Freddie? Who's your favorite comic book superhero?
The only comic books I ever really had growing up was a couple of the X-Men comic books. So
why? Why those ones?
I don't know. My parents didn't like
diversity,
Asian
the
parents,
60s,
man. Like, are you kidding?
Was different back then.
Like the fact that I like had anything with English type in it was of my volition. Like, my parents didn't know about like comic books. Like, I talk to my parents are the funniest people to talk to about things like Batman and like the Spider-Man movies, because I'm like, oh, mom, dad, you guys want to go see like the new Batman movie? And they're like, what is this?
Wait, they've seen every movie in theaters, though, because they're retired. They have nothing to do but
no,
watch
they do.
Movies.
They go watch it, but they're so confused by it. And they come to me like, I don't get this at all. Like, so he turns into a bat, and he like, and I'm like, it's a thing. It's a cultural thing. It's like superhero. Like, the only one they get, and this is kind of interesting, the only superhero that they understood was Superman. Like, my dad got Superman because it was, like, such a pervasive cultural
Because he's
export.
From another planet, and he gets here, and he, like, and makes he everything like, better.
Yes, the immigrant experience is
Have you ever told
no.
these people about your dad's awesome story? Is that something you are willing to talk about?
I think it's a much longer story from our podcast, but my dad got to this country with, you know, not easily.
He swam here, Freddie.
No, he did not swim
Three
here.
Three times he swam here.
He did not
here.
Swim to America.
Did he swim here, like,
no.
two times?
Logan, could you just take, like, 4 seconds and think about how stupid...
No, they practice
was.
In the pools of China, like communist China, and then they'd swim to Hong Kong. Did you not tell me that? Was
yes,
it not your dad?
But he did not
dad?
Swim to America.
No, he swam to Hong Kong, though.
And then from Hong Kong, he
That's
took a
pretty
flight,
epic, though, right?
Like a China to
Hong Kong. But China to Hong Kong swimming
I
is
think
pretty.
What we're saying is that Freddy's superhero is his dad.
His dad's pretty cool. His dad's pretty cool, by the way.
I think that's
way.
It. And that's a really sweet Comic-Con story, Freddy.
And that's my Comic-Con
You should cosplay
memory.
As your dad. Straight up with like a Kira makeup.
So
I'll
just look like myself with shorter shorts.
But no, wrinklier.
Does your dad do the short shorts?
He's
thing
getting
with
there.
The,
He's
with
getting
the
like
long socks.
He does the short shorts and then like the wow, Dad, your shirt has four pockets in the front of it. What are you keeping in there? Nothing. Nothing. Okay.
My dad
me
does
four
the
pockets,
Costco
do
zip away pants. Where
oh
pants,
no!
But then my, you can zip them off and then they become shorts
no,
with a bunch of pockets.
My dad will do the Costco pants and he'll go to Costco sometimes just to buy bananas. I'm like, Dad, you know that there's. Like grocery stores. It's like, I just like the Costco bananas. I'm like, but there's nothing. It's just like, I just like Costco and the bananas, okay? Like, that was like, okay, all right, Dad wants to get bananas from Costco. That's what he's going to do.
One of the things that took over Comic-Con this year that we were talking about was Oculus Rift.
Yeah, which we
So I've heard that Legendary has an amazing Oculus Rift experience
the Pacific
with the
Pacific
Rim.
Jaeger pilot. Oculus experience.
Hey, Chobot,
yeah, and then
you...
on the other side, there's an actual hallway for Crimson Peak that you can go through.
I do want to. I was upset I didn't get to check out the Crimson Peak experience.
Do you Logan,
Good
is
God,
there something
Logan,
you want to ask
just,
me?
No, Logan,
no, we won't
don't.
Talk about that, but I do. I
no, just
have my
do it, Logan,
out.
You jerk.
I was like, yo, Chobot, can you like get us in so we can like skip the line? Because literally, like after this, we're just going to go wait in that line for like 2 hours.
Yeah, that's where we're headed next.
If you want to get autographs from Freddie, he'll be in the line. Waiting for a fucking Jaeger. Excuse my language. Freaking Jaeger.
Oh, boy. No, but like, Oculus Rift is like all over the place. I heard it's like a Game of Thrones Oculus Rift thing.
There was an
like
Into the Storm Oculus Rift, the Professor Xavier Oculus experience.
Wait, real quick, is the Professor?
What's that?
Please tell me. You're just in a wheelchair.
I don't know.
There's like kind of like a janky
I apologize. I don't know my X-Men. You go into the dome.
No, no, it's where he. It's where his mind powers are amplified.
Yeah, in the dome.
And he, you sit in like a paper mache sort of like pinata. You get in the middle of his pinata.
No way.
Yeah.
And then except like a webcam and like an Oculus Rift.
Lies.
They like probably
no, that's
eBayed.
All there.
All lies.
Yeah, and you get in there and something happens.
I
nobody
want,
would tell
I want
us.
The Professor
the
X.
The floor was vibrating.
I want the Professor X Oculus Rift experience to be like, you wake up and you need to like, and you're disabled and you need to get in the wheelchair. And then and like the X-Men roll you around like, and like they lean in. So it's like you look up and it's like Wolverine's like, hey, Professor. And like you like, have to go teach classes.
Just after you just like understand what it means to live a life of hardship. Yeah, that's great.
Yeah. That'd be a great Oculus Rift experience.
But no, Oculus Rift did kind of take over like as far as like the immersive interactive experiences as opposed to like, do you hear about Godzilla's last year? I was talking to you about this.
Yeah, that sounded amazing. I can't believe we missed it.
Where it's like they like ran out of a building and you get on, it was like you were like on the floor of an unfinished like 30th floor of a building and like Godzilla was attacking this building from all angles.
Oh,
like it
wow.
was like an immersive 360 display. I maybe have built this up in my head over the year, but
clearly,
I mean...
Yeah.
If that's what it was, that's way awesomer than an Oculus Rift experience where somebody sits in an office chair and it's powered by Beats.
Beats.
One of them
all
goes.
Oculus experiences are powered by
but
Beats
you,
by Dre.
I know we're trashing this, but if you're out there and you know, I'll take it. Like, if you want to show us, we'll do it.
Wow.
Legendary Beats.
Like, right,
wow.
Can
you can wait
line.
In line.
There's no line for those, though. As
no,
far as
we'll
I can tell,
go.
It's like press only. But the Jaeger
maybe
one has
a line.
Maybe
you just need to start a comic book blog. And that's your chance to get in on these sweet, interactive, immersive 4-minute experiences at Comic-Con.
Yeah. But how do you guys feel about this whole Oculus Rift being like the main platform for Comic-Con promotional activities?
I think it's interesting. I'm not fully convinced and have drunk the Oculus Rift Kool-Aid quite so much. I mean, it's still just virtual reality. I don't know why anybody is...
Have you done like a VR
like
experience before? Have you gone Lawnmower Man?
I have.
Yeah, like what was that?
Mine was at some science room somewhere. I don't know. I was at some laboratory. I don't know where they took me.
Some room.
I don't know where they took me. It was for a show I was shooting called Proving Ground. They actually had a VR set there that they were working on, and they had made it so it was a tactile thing so that when you would like... In your headset, you would see a stone pathway. And so then for you, physically, they had actually built a stone pathway because they had realized that there is a disconnect in your brain that will actually start to drive you kind of crazy if your body doesn't feel what your eyes are seeing.
Okay.
So they would actually need to build that so that it would cement the experience for
you. Was
this
in L.A.?
This was out, in the valley somewhere.
In the valley?
Yeah. And it was neat. It was really interesting. It was really cool. It looked great. You know, I mean, it doesn't look as good as the graphics on the Oculus Rift because they're scientists and they weren't really concerned about the look of it so much as like how your brain reacted to it. But it was pretty much the same format. And I guess I just don't understand. You know, it's cool. It's virtual reality in your home in a practical way. But it's still just virtual reality, and I still get sick off of it. So I don't really. I see possibilities for it in the future, especially with science and medicine and things of that nature and games when, you know, games are like really honed in on it. But I feel like we're kind of going down the home theater 3D glasses route a little bit.
Yeah, I think so. And I think that like the level of that you're going to get in terms of people who have like full-on VR rigs is probably about the same amount of people who have like a driving rig for driving games. Like there'll be people who have like the, hey,
absolutely,
you want to step into my
that's
virtual reality
experience. That's a pretty
extreme
example.
And here's the thing, like I'll go to their
house.
At-home
driving range? Hold on.
No, driving rig, not driving range.
Let me just step into my driving range.
Yeah, you do. You have that. It says closet.
One out of five people have a driving range.
And here's the thing. I'll go over there to their house to hang out and check it out and hang out with them, but I don't necessarily want it in my house because I know I'm not going to take the time to deal with it.
Keep that VR out of here.
Be plugged in all the time.
And I think it's great for events like this in order, especially to like promote your movies and your television shows and kind of bring the audience into what you're trying to promote. But other than that, other than special occasions, I still have to see a little bit more.
It's kind of strange that they're choosing the one thing that like every person's like face is rubbing against it, just smearing like oils.
Oh, I can't. Yeah, that's to me. That's
not like, I hadn't even thought of that, but now I'm even less.
And also, it's 1% at a time for like 7 minutes. It's not like that. It's not like a roller coaster where you can bang it out.
It's just dripping with pathogens.
I assume they wipe it down with like wipes or something.
Yeah,
I think they
kind of
like rub it on their shirt and they're like, here you go.
The guy just blows on it.
They didn't do it.
You're good, kid.
like with 3D, with the exception of some of the animated 3D that you have out there, don't you feel like 3D the first 30 minutes, okay, it looks really awesome, but then after 15 to 30 minutes, I don't even notice it anymore, so why don't I just go see a regular movie? Like, I don't, except this time I've got glasses on my face.
Yeah, well, then also it's even worse. It's even worse when you already have glasses, by the way.
Yeah,
it's the worst thing ever, because I'm sitting there, I'm like, great, fantastic, can't wait to watch this movie with two pairs of glasses on. Nothing will make me feel better than watching the movie again now. And so, anyway,
I have a question for Freddie Madden.
Oh, God, okay.
Have you guys ever thought about doing 3D content?
We thought about it, but pretty much rejected it outright.
Really? It was just... like,
was this because if you really want to shoot? Well, because here's the thing: you have two options if you want to do a 3D anything, right? You can either shoot at 3D, which means your camera rig is quadrupled in size because you need two cameras and all the rigging for that, just to hold it. Or you do it as a post convert, in which case you've now need to employ a lot of times an entire group of people in India to just roto out your whole movie just to do 3D, which is prohibitively expensive, and nobody's watching stuff in 3D anymore. I think the whole 3D thing came and went. Now it's like 4K, everything's gonna be 4K now. And it's
what about a 4D movie? Would you ever do? Did you hear about Sharknado? Oh. We were talking about this last night.
Sharknado.
You guys hear about this?
I haven't heard about that.
They did an integration with Philips Hue.
Do you guys know Philips Hue?
The RGB light bulbs.
You
can control them with an app on your iPad.
Yeah, yeah, I know what you're
So you can download the Sharknado app and sync your light bulbs with your Sharknado 2 viewing experience.
Really?
That's kind of, it's shticky, but it's simple, and so that's something I would try.
It's delightfully shticky, though, right?
Yeah, it's like, okay.
So I was telling them what I want them to do is also do a vibration where you sit on your phone for the movie. so you get a little bit of more William Castle, whoa!
Like the tingler.
Can't you just ask one of your friends to text you constantly?
Download the tingler app.
For an hour and 30, can you just keep texting me?
Yeah, that's you put your iPad into your couch cushion. It's a special cushion that has an iPad holder for it, and then it's like hit play when the movie starts for a full 4D experience.
What's your guys' favorite 4D effect? Like of all the different 4D effects you've experienced, what's your favorite?
A Bug's Life in Disneyland.
Well, which one?
When the little bugs start running through your seat.
And they take your legs.
Yeah.
The crazy part about that one was that one that jams you in the back.
Yeah, I don't like that one. Yeah, when you get stung. I actually remember all of them. There's the stinger. There's the one that spits at you, and you get spit on by some weird.
Yeah, there's a little. And it's gross water in your face.
Yeah, gross water gets you. And then I think the fog comes in.
My favorite is
and then the stinger, and then the little.
The little tinglies.
Things.
Yeah, my favorite one is when you do Sonoma of California, when you get the scents, when smells
you hear
come
everything
in.
Smells like trees.
Well, that's the best part. Was
the orange grove.
Well, here's the best part about it. I've always heard that there was actually four or five different scents. You're supposed to be able to smell the surf and oranges and pine needles. And then pine needles. Pine needles is like the nuclear explosion of scents. And so then just everything just smells like pine needles or like some variant of pine needles.
Would you guys ever do 4D effects for VGHS season 3? Release a companion thing to give people tingly effects.
The vibration thing actually is pretty stupid. So it's stupid enough that it might be worth doing. Would you imagine that?
Would you consider taking Nerdist News 4D?
No.
Not at all.
No. She kind of spits at the screen and leaks on the audience.
I mean, that's at the end of the day, that's not my decision. But I would might have to have a meeting about that.
Here's
to
the pitch meeting.
The decision makers are here. Let's convince them.
Here's the pitch meeting. It's like, all right, imagine at the end of every episode, I sneeze. But then on the users,
it releases mice that run through your feet before somebody farts and smells.
That
smells really
horrible.
Bad.
Farting mice running through your feet and spitting in your face.
Yeah. What about you, Matt? You look like you have a 4D effect you want to talk about.
I absolutely do not.
That's a no.
There you go.
Anyway, last thoughts about Comic-Con. We're gonna sort of move on.
Is there any movie news we should know about? We've been walking the floor. We haven't heard anything.
I have some, but I'm not telling you
what it is.
At the time this releases, they'll hear it. So you can just let you can whisper to us with the covering microphone.
Nope, just gonna have to wait.
We'll have to wait. Anyway,
but it's awesome. But you're gonna have to wait.
Can't wait for that. Where do we find you? Where do we find your stuff?
You can find Nerdist News and all our Nerdist videos over at Nerdist.com and our YouTube channel. And you can follow me on Twitter at Jessica Chobot. No underscore anymore because I finally got my name back.
Whoa.
Congratulations. Wait, what happened to it for a while?
Right when Twitter started, somebody camped on it and kept it.
Was that their
forever.
Name, though? Because that's messed up.
No,
if you
it
force
wasn't.
Them out
they just
name.
It was one of those where they had made one tweet. And then they just left it alone.
How great
for
would that one tweet be? It was just like, ha 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 ha.
Oh, it felt so good. I was like, yes. Right. So, yes, you can follow me there.
Okay. Well, hey, thanks very much. Thanks.
Oh, can
stopping
I plug
by.
One more thing?
Yes, plug one more thing.
I just started with a good friend of mine and also one of our Nerdist News crew members, Bowser. A podcast called Bizarre States, all about weird, spooky stuff.
Oh, I forgot. I literally forgot to tell this. Dez, you need to go on it and tell her about your haunted house stories.
I got some good haunted house
stories. I would love you to come on and talk about the haunted house
stories. While we're waiting for the audience.
I'm not saying we're believers or non-believers. We just, everybody's got a story.
Okay.
And we just want to hear it.
All right, I've
so
got one to tell.
So please check it out, and you can see that on Twitter. And we do updates every 2 weeks, and that's at bizarre underscore states.
Underscore.
Wait, that's Dez, the one with the underscore.
Can we hear one of those stories while we're like? While
no,
we're switching
we'll
save it.
In a second.
We'll
thank
it.
You.
Save it.
I'll do the effects like the footsteps and like the.
There's your 4D experience right
there.
We'll just have Logan hanging out in the background.
Talk in your ear while I'm telling my story.
Well, thank you.
And then the ghost breathes.
Thank you very much, Jessica.
Thank you,
Thanks
Chobot.
For hanging out for us.
Thanks,
Ladies and
guys.
Gentlemen, Jessica Chobot, host of Nerdist News.
Thank you so much for coming by.
Hey guys, how's it going? Jimmy Wong, aka Ted from VGHS here, telling you to check out shop.rocketjump.com. We've got brand new merchandise like iPhone cases and iPad decals to shirts, Blu-rays, and posters, including brand new Season 2 designs from our friends at Danger Brain. There's also the incredibly popular VGHS hoodie, and some of our older shirts are on sale for a great price. So make sure you check it out right after this podcast at shop.rocketjump.com. Thanks so much, guys.
Another guest, this is the first ever two guest podcast. I'd like to welcome to the stage the best in the world, CM Punk.
We actually have him ready.
did I jump?
He's here. It's happening.
Okay,
there
cool.
he is.
Here he is, CM Punk.
Yeah.
All right. Hello.
Hey, how's it going?
Sorry, I don't know if I'm late or not. I was down the street eating bugs.
Perfect timing.
What were you eating?
I was eating bugs.
What kind of bugs?
Crickets.
Was there like a restaurant that actually does
no,
that here?
No. It was at, I don't know, it's something Nerdist made me do. I just,
I like
just do whatever
just
they
cave.
Tell me to do.
They tell you to do it,
very
you just cave.
Are they just pointing in directions and you're just kind of going from place to place this Comic-Con?
Mr. Punk, you need to do this, now do that.
Yep, they called me up and they're like, hey, want to come to Comic-Con? I said, sure. And there was no mention of eating bugs.
Have you been before?
I was here briefly, I think, in 2011, maybe 2012.
Yeah?
Yeah, but I didn't get to see or do anything. So
nothing at all?
No. So I've already been here Wednesday, Thursday. Today is
Friday?
We're on Friday now.
Okay, yeah. All right. Then, yes, I've been here 3 days already, and it's fun.
Are you a big comic book fan?
I'm a huge comic. The first job I ever had when I was 14 was a comic shop. So
really?
Yes. This is this is my generation. This is my youth.
It's like returning to home here for almost.
Well,
right?
I've lived in a bubble for so long that I've never got to do things like this, and now I do. So here
yeah,
I am.
That's awesome. Yeah.
When you got a job at the comic book shop, was that like you were a comic book fan and this was your dream job, or working there kind of
I
made you
fall was,
in love with comics?
I was probably an annoying kid that showed up almost every day, and I loved comic books. And then one day, the guy who worked there was like, "I'll give you free comic books if you take the garbage out." And then it just snowballed from there.
Sounds illegal, but it's a good job.
It's perfect.
Getting paid in comic books may not actually be legal tender, depending on the state that you're in. So a couple of things. We've solicited some questions from the Twitterverse.
Yeah, I'm only a little bit scared of this.
I would be.
Okay, so I'm just gonna start pulling through here. From Phil McManus, he asks, what is the one comic book storyline that changed the way you saw comics?
Oh, Watchmen. I mean, that's kind of an easy one. I think a lot of people would say that, too. I mean, I don't... Spoiler alert.
I think we're okay. I think we can spoil
all
Watchmen.
Right. You're all right.
I don't want to ruin anything for anybody. If you've never read The Watchmen, cover your ears.
Earmuffs
and
now.
Make a lot of noise.
Or take off your headphones.
The bad guys won. You know what I mean? I don't care what anybody says. That was such
a Wait,
were awesome
you are you old enough to be around when like Watchmen actually came out and read it when it was released?
I mean, yeah, I'm old enough, yes.
Well,
yes.
We aren't. I don't think any
well,
of us were
fuck
around.
You. What the How old are you?
I think we're all like 28, 29, 30, if I had to guess.
I still feel old.
Yeah, no, that's in Watchmen. You have to be like, I assume 35 or plus to actually.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
You so it's not like, assume, you're old.
You're
an old man.
You would assume right,
we're
you
like
young
years,
whippersnapper.
We're 5 years behind, okay? We all read it in college too, as like film school.
Yeah, that's
yes, I remember. Yeah. I remember when they were coming out, but it's nothing I read while it was coming out, okay. And I'm glad I didn't even try then because it was probably above my pay grade at the time.
Well, what was interesting too is like it's turned into a thing. Like the way I watched it was in a academic setting. Like that's how respected
that's fascinating. I mean, I got a school teacher buddy of mine back home in Chicago. She's the number one teacher in Chicago. Just want to throw that out there. They have allowed her to have a course where she pretty much just teaches literature through comic books and graphic novels. So it's come a long way.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So do you have are you like comic book heroes or less traditional comic books like that aren't about superheroes? And
well, I describe to people like the way I got into comic books was probably. G.I. Joe was like the first thing because that was a big thing of my youth, the cartoon, and then I saw that there was a comic book, so then you pick up the comic book, and nobody's read the G.I. Joe comic book.
I didn't even know there was one.
I saw a G.I. Joe versus Transformers today.
No, fuck that.
like you're real, like, bro.
The Larry Hama, like from issues like one to like, I don't know, it got pretty bad towards the end, but like you can't go wrong with like from like issues one to 105, the G.I. Joe comic book had a really good run. And that was something like I bought and I read, and it was like it was nothing like the cartoon. I'm talking this thing.
Like, is it grittier or?
It's way grittier. It's
like drug use, memories of Vietnam.
A lot of Vietnam.
Really? Like
everybody was in Vietnam together.
Like somebody goes to 7-Eleven and has like a
Storm Shadow,
episode.
Stalker. They were all like the nucleus of the whole thing was like the it was Vietnam and then ninjas and. And it kind of opened my mind to everything. I'm Vietnam and ninjas.
You know, it's really realistic. Vietnam and ninjas.
It's a brilliant comic book. So I got in based off of that. And then I think I went through a phase where I gravitated towards the art, where I was like, wow, Jim Lee, he's awesome. And then I gravitate to certain characters. So I'll read anything Punisher. And then now, in the ripe old age of 35, I gravitate mostly just specifically to writers. So if Jason Aaron writes anything, I'll read it. If Garth Ennis writes anything, I'll read it. You know, so on and so forth. Ed Brubaker, all the good names.
So is there still like a Marvel versus DC thing, or is that not? Is it more about individual superheroes? Is it like, are you part of a Marvel school or a DC school?
When I was young, I was a Marvel guy. All the way.
Like, how come? Was it just like the heroes were better? Or?
I refused to read DC, and I really don't know why that is. I have no good explanation for that.
Nobody knows why they choose the size they do.
You either like Pepsi or Coke. You're a Marvel or DC person. You know what I mean?
Some more blue, some more gray.
You take a side.
No, what's crazy too is like you see that it still happens, right? Kids are either like Xbox or PS4 kids. Like that's it.
That's still a thing, really?
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's like PC. That's like that's like being part of the Green Party. Like
PC is like the kids who play like chess club in the corner there.
Right. No, I think that's just human nature. You choose something.
Something larger than your allegiance.
She's shaking her head. She knows what's up. She's like, yep.
Yeah, exactly.
So did you have a favorite Marvel character? Punisher?
Punisher, I think, would probably be my favorite.
How come? Like what? Like just because?
Just because I think it's the story of revenge, and it's simple. But it's also complicated.
So how do you feel about the Punisher movies?
They're all fucking awful.
even Warzone with the dude doing like the parkour who gets hit by the missile? Even that's like, no. Okay.
It's offensive to me why they can't get... you would think Hollywood would capitalize on this. It's a pretty simple fucking character.
But there's movies like Punisher that aren't like Death Wish, right?
Is exactly it. This is my buddy Seth Skyfire. And that is not his real name.
Okay.
Don't worry about it.
That's interesting. He makes turquoise jewelry.
Shout out to Seth. Me and him, what he would do, because, you're all pretty young standing here, right?
Yeah, it would appear so.
Like around 30.
How old are you guys, the three of you?
17!
Wow. All right.
Congratulations.
When I was your age, I longed for like maybe a vast 4 days celebrating pop culture and comic books and stuff like that. And now you live in this, and I envy you. What we all wanted, we always wanted these rad comic book movies, and we never got them. Now, recently, obviously, we've been getting them, but when back in my day, What we used to do is go to movies and pretend they were other movies. I'm not the biggest James Bond guy, but I would go to a James Bond movie and we would just be like, all right, it's Captain America. And then we would watch it.
With the British accent.
You had the sweet Roger Corman Fantastic Four.
No, like. Come on. Listen to the age divide. You had the...
Back when I was born,
so
you had...
So the best Punisher movie that has ever come out is the remake of Man on Fire with Denzel Washington.
Yes.
He's the fucking Punisher. He's the Punisher.
It was just straight up Punisher.
People are like, no, please don't kill me. He's like, fuck you, I'm going to kill you.
That's an interesting take.
Well, I'll give you money and I'll tell you what you want. And he's like, okay. And then they tell him what he wants and they give him the money and then he kills him anyway. That's... Frank Castle.
I have one more Punisher question. Is there like if somebody wanted to get into the Punisher, is there like a preferred series they should read for the Punisher?
I would try to read some early stuff before you get into like the Garth Ennis stuff. The Garth Ennis stuff is good, but it's pretty new. I would try to go after like the Chuck Dixon Punisher stuff when he did with John Romita Jr. They did a really good arc to start the Punisher Warzone comic book.
Okay.
That's one of my favorites.
Have you ever tried Marvel? We were talking about this.
Have you ever tried to murder somebody? Yeah, I don't know.
Me and Dez are trying to work through it, see how we pull it off perfectly.
Yeah, maybe you got some hints and tips.
Marvel Universe on the iPad.
No.
If you ever want to get into like Marvel comics, it's like $9.99. You usually get like the whole archive.
And here's
for,
the
like,
age
the
divide again. I can't do it. I have to hold.
You need the book.
I have to hold the book.
How come?
Why?
Your whole collection.
Because there's just something inside me. I need to hold it. Who said
it?
This is not my quote, but it was a very rad quote. Like, I like to look at boobs too, but I would rather have them in my hand. I don't know.
Just like books.
That's awful, right?
Just like books.
Books and boobs. Same thing.
Will you not even read trades? Do they have to be like the individual issues even?
No, I will only read trades because I don't have the attention span to read one book and then sit there and wait for a month or depending on who the artist and or writer is, 6 weeks. For the fucking book to come out.
So instead of an iPad where you can jam on 30 volumes, when you travel, you pack up bags, duffel bags full of books.
I've been known to have an entire bag. Or I have a vast knowledge of a lot of comic book shops around the world.
We killed him.
That's it.
Punk had him taken out.
I thought you were going to say you just remember them, so you just like close your eyes on planes and just think about them. Like, oh, that was great.
Yeah, that's a good book.
Just revisiting my mind palace of comic books. Well, on the topic of like film adaptations of comic books, I guess we have a question here from Dan L. on Twitter. What superhero would you like to portray?
Test.
Which superhero would you like to portray? Marvel TV film. What would, in your dream world, who would it be?
I don't know. I don't really look like a superhero. What?
I mean, you do.
Oh, I do?
Well,
compared to Matt, Ben, Freddie, and me, yes. We're all like these schlubby, sad people here.
I get...
Everybody point to who looks most like a superhero on this
panel.
On
the stage here. Oh, look at that, right in the middle.
The three people pointed.
Somebody pointed at you, though, Matt, so...
Hey, thank you.
Yeah.
I get Casey Jones from the Ninja Turtles a lot.
You mentioned it,
I'm kind of flattered about that. That's nice. I've always looked at myself as kind of a Jack Burton from Big Trouble in Little China.
Oh, yes.
You know what I mean?
But Jack Burton doesn't want to be there.
No.
He's terrified.
But that's the story of my life. I'm always like, yeah, that sounds like an awesome idea. And then I get there and I'm like,
how did I get here?
All right.
It's rated. Dogs and cats out there.
You know.
Well done,
little Jack Burton quote for you. For you Big Trouble fans.
So have you had a chance to walk around here at all, really?
Yeah, I've been walking around like crazy.
So what's your current top moment from San Diego Comic-Con 2014.
I wish I could plug my phone into some sort of a device so you could all see this, but I saw a dog riding a motorcycle earlier.
By
like
himself?
As a stunt? Like a real dog or like a,
no,
a human
was
cosplaying
a,
as
a
dog?
No, it was a real dog. He had goggles on.
No way.
And he was on like this, it was a miniature motorcycle.
No
way.
Was this promotional or he's a part of San Diego?
He was just somebody walking down the street.
Nothing to do with Comic-Con. Just a dog driving a motorcycle.
Yes.
He had to do his errands for the day.
Yes.
This is how he does them.
This happened to me yesterday. Stop me if you've heard it because I said it on Nerdist News already, but there was a man walking down the street and he had flames. He had bitchin' flames tattooed on his leg. and there was a homeless man running after him saying, "Sir, your leg is on fire." "Sir, your leg is on fire."
Oh my God.
And it was amidst all these people and like all this chaos, and I felt like I was the only one who was watching this. I was like, that's fucking awesome.
There's one dude who's sitting there running through it.
A lot of the cosplay is pretty mind-blowing, and not just for the hard work that goes in. Just I don't think people realize that the shit that they wear is super hot.
Oh, the endurance.
And they're walking around. Mm. Well, I don't know. I don't know if they have endurance. I see a lot of them dropping out. I see a lot of them dropping out. You know what I mean?
Did you have a favorite cosplay? Was there like one that like
there was a guy?
Stood out?
There was a guy dressed up as the White Walker from Game of Thrones.
Like latex
on the
stuff,
horse.
Or? Okay.
Whoa.
So he had that like that. His front legs. His legs were the front legs for the horse, and he had this mechanism, this homemade pulley system for the hind legs. And then he was just walking, and he had like,
and your shirt's not just another person back there.
It was crazy, it was wild.
That sounds great.
We saw a
he was sweating like.
That must have been tough. Yeah,
it was ugly.
White Walker, not used to San Diego's heat.
What did we see, Des?
A police box.
Yeah, somebody was actually just
a
straight up a telephone box,
plaster
from Doctor Who.
Telephone box from Doctor Who. And she was inside, just slowly pushing it.
Like with like a Fernie dolly on the bottom.
Through the hordes.
Through
might
the
well
hordes
be a 10
of on comic
book and merchandise purchasers.
Was that a costume or was she just trapped?
It was like a. Yeah, it was more like a prop vehicle that she was locked inside of. Yeah.
I mean, what the hell is this thing over here? That's cool.
That thing's rad. That's Stan Winston Studio and Legacy Effects. I don't even know what you call that.
How did that get up here?
Awesome is the word that comes to mind.
It's from Borderlands, is it not?
Is it?
I believe
so.
It'd be really weird if it was here.
I think that's an original creation.
Is it?
I see Matt Winston over there. Maybe. What is it? What do you call that? Matt Winston, come on up
here,
real
come
quick.
Up.
Matt Winston, legend.
I don't know about that.
So that is giant creature over there. His name is Bodok.
Yeah.
He's 2,000 pounds. He takes He takes 9 puppeteers to bring to life. He's got a friend up in top whose name is Jannar, the somewhat important. And they are here because they believe Comic-Con is a summit of alien creatures. They don't realize we're all just dressing up here.
Well, no, I mean, you pretty much nailed it.
It's
a summit of alien creatures.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
And it's just a celebration of practical effects. We believe that pixels are great, but you can't take them to Comic-Con. And this is, we hope to keep real monsters alive forever. That's our mission.
Is it from?
He's not from Borderlands. He's an original creation for
Comic-Con.
Giant Creature was built for you guys.
Nice.
That's fantastic.
And thank you, guys.
And
what's crazy, by the way, is for those of you watching or listening at home, this thing is giant, like maybe 15 feet tall. We got up here via escalator. I have no idea how this thing exists.
Helicopter drop. We did it all. Yeah, it was insane. It was the freight elevator. He breaks into 6 parts. Oh, he's coming to life right now. There he is. He's a combination of animatronics, human power, Arduino tech from Adafruit, and old school puppetry. So he's really a celebration of today, yesterday, and tomorrow. And hey, man, we can never let this die. Does anyone disagree with me?
I do not disagree with you.
Is this the first time he's been seen?
He was seen yesterday on the NBC corner. He was on Jimmy Kimmel on Monday night, but this is the first time he's been seen at Petco Park.
Good times.
There you go.
Good times.
Well, thank you so much.
So, Freddie, do we have official commitment that we're going to make a blockbuster with this guy? Official?
Let's do it. Everyone on it, let's do something. We got major talent up on stage, barring the person sitting to my left. But, you know, we should do something. Let's do something.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Hey, thanks very much.
Thanks, Matt. Appreciate it. Give it up for Stan Winston Studio.
It always blows my mind when you see someone do cosplay, and if it's just slightly taller than human size, if it's on stilts or something like that, like the moment it becomes taller than what you're used to, it's a totally different thing.
There's a lot of effort that goes into a lot of it. My favorite is the really bad cosplay.
I feel
bad that they probably spent a lot of time on it. But they look like they're melting or they're falling apart.
Yeah,
like
it's tough. We'll put it this way: anything with face paint in this weather, it's just asking.
It's not
trouble.
A good idea.
In addition to stilts, buff people cosplaying always blows me away. Like the buff Wolverines you see.
Okay.
As a buff dude, have you ever thought about cosplaying?
As a buff dude?
No. As a buff dude.
As a buff dude.
You're like, no way, man. No cosplay for this guy.
I've spent a lifetime in my underwear in public. I don't need to.
Don't need to keep going? You wouldn't do like a Wolverine or Superman
shirts.
Or anything?
I like wearing shirts now.
All right.
I've entered the shirt-wearing phase of my life.
Yes.
Yes. Just Michelin Man.
I wear pants now.
Stay Puft Marshmallow Dude.
Well, when we were walking over here, we saw like a Conan, like a full-on guy, and there was two of them. One was like kind of a guy, and if you look, he had airbrushed his abs.
That's cheating, isn't it?
It is smart. Cheating. It's a little bit. Smart. It's smart. Yeah, but it was like you double take. You're like one. You're like, oh wait a minute. Those are airbrushed abs.
Was it well done though? Was it like it was, wow? That's
well. At first glance, I was like, whoa, this guy's no,
he's
not.
He's like an artist, really.
A little bit, yeah. With
I mean,
with
you gotta get halfway there. Like it wouldn't work on me.
No. Like if you airbrush. Actually, that no.
I think we should try though, Matt, and just see how it turns out.
And then the other one.
Has anybody run into any cosplayers that take themselves way too seriously?
Like stay
in
character?
This is another thing that I've experienced.
There's one guy out there that's like, no.
Well, we were filming stuff yesterday for Nerdist, and I saw an Iron Man and a Cyclops. So we're like, oh, this is great. We needed two people, so we called them over. And they were doing something with the camera, so I was chit-chatting, and I looked over and I said, talking to Cyclops, I said, it's pretty cool. Did you make that outfit yourself? And then he just hits the X on his chest and it lights up and he goes, I'm really Cyclops. And I just said,
oh wait, there he is.
He's here. Is he here? Is he they're just excited for the thing moving.
Oh.
Its back is open. That's badass.
That would have been so rad if
he was like,
that would have been great if
he was there.
Here.
And he was right over there. Don't make me take off my glasses.
Just laser beam hits the stage. explodes
out.
Bro, I'm totally Cyclops. He looked me in the eye, though, and he said, I'm really Cyclops.
He took off his goggles. Looked me in the eye.
Who am I to judge? I just said, okay. I'll talk to Robert Downey
Jr. It's like, I'll continue to have a normal conversation then over on this side. Yeah, no, it's kind of interesting because I wonder what that spectrum is, right? Because I feel like there's some people who are like, okay, I'm putting the thing on, I'm going to be taking pictures, but I'm also going to play the character all the way through. But there's a certain level where you just can't keep the character up anymore. And like the funniest thing to me today is we were getting lunch, Matt and I, and we were like sitting there, and it's like playing the character. But there was like, oh, this is Elizabeth from Bioshock. Oh, the bathroom door's locked and she has to wait awkwardly outside it while the person inside. It just doesn't work anymore after a certain point. So I just don't know how people can keep up the character when it's like you're at a hot dog stand.
You can't break. What happens when there's two of the same person and they meet each other?
Oh, no. They explode.
They have to fight.
The same matter cannot occupy the same space.
They would have to fight.
Yeah.
Like if there's two, there's probably a lot. There's probably like 3 dozen poison ivies walking around the convention center right now.
I wish there were statistics. Like,
we should get them all together in like a
Stormtrooper,
and they just beat the shit out of each other.
Probably
and then
a Stormtrooper.
The one who wins, you can be poison ivy next
poison
year.
Poison ivy.
Yeah, the proto poison ivy. Well, it's funny that you mentioned that. Not that this is like a little bit of a derail, but I remember there was a psychological experiment where a guy took 3 people who believed that they were the second coming of Christ. And put them in a room, just be like, what will they do? They all truly believe that they are the second coming. And it ended with all 3 of them basically being like, no, I am, but so is he, in this weird technical way. Like, they solved it, like, in their own minds. And I was like, okay, all right, that's, I guess, what happens. I was like, it started with them fighting and then them resolving it by, like, technically, no, he is, but in the universe that he's in, right? And I was like, okay, all right.
All right.
Yeah, anyway, sorry, I was just...
Interesting.
Very interesting, Freddie. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, guys.
Did you buy anything at Comic-Con? Is this your first Comic-Con where you just relax and
cruise the floor? This is definitely the first one where I've actually been able to
So do you actually, like, you buy things, or is it like you check things
out?
I haven't bought anything. MO?
I've just kind of been walking around and people watching.
Yeah, and it's,
I mean, that'll last. Yeah, that'll do it.
I haven't been able to buy anything. I didn't know you could. I'm dumb. I just walked around and I was just like, oh, this is cool. And then most of the things I see, it says do not touch or not for sale. You know,
yeah.
Some of it's pretty steep, dude. We saw a Godzilla poster for $1,500.
$1,500 for a poster.
I was
poster.
Like, oh, that's a cool poster. Oh, well.
It wasn't, I don't know.
It was an all right poster.
Who am I to say? I mean, for somebody, it's worth $1,500, I'm
sure. Yeah, sure.
What was so special about it?
Probably original, if I had to guess.
All right.
Yeah, when you talk about those, like, comics from the 1920s, I assume they actually.
Sure. Yeah, I get
steep
that.
Steep price, right?
I mean, a poster?
Well, I guess the comic book side of Comic-Con has been, like, pushed
it's
off.
Shoved
almost.
In the back. Yeah. It's nothing to do with comics anymore. It used to be nothing but. And now it's pop culture. It's giant, crazy statues. And
well, there's still that component, though, right?
A little bit, yeah. I think that's the roots of it. But It's about movies and TV and everything right now.
Yeah, yeah. Have you had a chance to check out the actual because I know I was talking to a guy who's like old school comic dudes like just in the back corner of the convention center. They're still trying to ply the trade, and it's like it's trickled down. It's like everyone's in like the big booths and stuff. By the time you get the quarter mile to the back corner, there's still guys actually sitting there selling stuff, and you got the sleeves and you got all the rows and racks and stuff. I think it's like I feel like that's something that's still important. It's something that you shouldn't lose.
Saw a man in the very back corner, the furthest booth you could have, just sitting quietly by himself, eating a cheesy peanut butter crackers, waiting for someone to come check out his gear. I wanted just to go buy something.
He is Comic-Con, by the way.
He is Comic-Con.
He is Comic-Con.
He looked like
you know.
He's weathered. He'd been here.
What if it was a guy cosplaying as an old grumpy comic book guy?
That's in a giant his whole booth is the
that
costume.
That would have been it.
And he just pushes the booth through.
He pushes the booth.
It's like, this guy's cosplaying as a sad guy in a booth at the corner of Comic-Con.
That's a brilliant idea.
Comic-Con 1979. He just makes his way through the...
If you cosplay next year, that's exactly as what you should cosplay as.
Yeah.
You have a platform, people can get up on your costume and, browse through your comic books, and you're like,
hey Matt, would you cosplay with me next year if we agree to cosplay?
Not.
We could start working on costumes right now.
Absolutely not.
Right now.
Why not?
I would never cosplay with Logan.
I don't trust Logan.
What about you, Dez? Would you cosplay with me?
No. I don't trust you either.
What? What?
Give us a good idea. I like this booth thing.
Like the Wonder
Maybe
Twins.
Maybe we can all hang out
we
in our own booth.
We could be the Wonder Twins.
Okay.
Like with the purple leotards.
Sure.
No.
No.
No. I think cosplaying as older Comic-Con would probably be newsworthy. In and of itself.
It sounds like a Nathan for you.
You would definitely be a thumbnail on a blog post on Gawker.
You wouldn't believe what this guy cosplayed at. Anyway.
Do you read a lot of the new comic stuff, or do you feel like new comics are not what they used to be?
Oh, no. I read everything. I mean, give me an example. I
don't know. I was wondering if...
I got one. New Hawkeye?
Love Hawkeye.
It's badass,
it's,
right?
It's
like
amazing.
The dog one? Yep. Where it's all from the perspective of the dog?
Rad. My wife loves it too. She actually got me some original art for, I think it was Christmas, maybe my birthday.
From the Hawkeye?
Yeah.
No kidding.
Yes.
Can you explain? These guys have never heard of the
new
please.
Hawkeye.
Just read it.
Okay.
Got it.
Badass. It's like an updated. It's very Jack Burton-esque. It's very self-deprecating, and he's a hero, but he gets the shit beat out of him, and it's clever, it's funny, it's witty, it's well written. It's great.
Awesome. It's also less about kicking butt and being a hero, more about just a dude trying to move into his apartment. But there's one that's the one that got all the blog posts and everything was he's in trouble and his dog he's adopted tries to find him, and it's all told from the perspective of the dog with icons.
Oh, that's interesting.
So, yeah, no, it was great. It's it's basically a film noir comic book from the perspective of a dog.
Reminded me of they did two issues like this in the G.I. Joe run, where it was, they called them the silent issues, the ninjas had an entire book and there's no word bubbles at all. It's all silent. So
this is from the 80s?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I'll find that somehow.
Check it out.
For
I'm telling
free.
You.
Just all walk right. over to the con.
Someone's Do you have
the
man and pick
the
up silent
find
the
old guy in the back corner. He's got one somewhere.
Dig
to the bottom of
Excuse
somebody's
me, sir,
pile.
You're playing with my costume. If you could just
could you please, these aren't actually for sale, sir. Could you just put that back exactly where you found it?
Do we got a final question here on Twitter, Freddy?
Final question?
Question, a.k.a. question number two, because we literally
three.
One
three.
Question from Twitter. Do we have a time limit? Is Benji holding
we're,
up?
We're
like,
about
yeah,
out,
we're,
yeah.
We're finishing up here. Let's final question here. Favorite single issue of all time, any comic book?
Favorite single issue of all time.
That's pretty serious, dude.
That's heavy.
It's a heavy one.
Let's buy him some time. Do you guys have a favorite single issue? Is there you don't have a single comic book, you'd be like, you read this one.
I don't know what the issue is, but it'd be from Fables. I don't want to say it because there's definitely a spoiler, but the big final arc of Fables, if you haven't read it, it's
Geppetto or post-Geppetto?
Geppetto.
Okay.
Yeah.
I can't think of a single one.
I got one. I'll give you a little more time. All-Star Superman, which is kind of a trade paperback. Have you ever read All-Star Superman?
Yep.
That's Grant Morrison in general is awesome. But All-Star Superman, which is basically Phenomenon with John Travolta, but if he was Superman, where he's like, dude, the best is when Superman's just looking at his hand memorizing his DNA. That's when you're like, okay, this is ridiculous. All right.
I want to be able to give a good answer, but I can't think of a single issue.
I don't know. Everything I read seems like it was more than one issue.
How about the best story? Then.
Best story, yeah, go for that. Yeah.
I don't know.
That guy's just over there answering your questions.
Well, also I could change up then. What would you recommend then for somebody who is like just new to the world of comics? Like, what's the starting point for them right now, in your opinion?
I mean, most of the stuff I find myself throwing out to recommend isn't actually superhero stuff, because I'll immediately say Preacher or Why the Last Man.
Incredible.
Why the Last Man was great.
Stuff like that. But if you like the superhero stuff, you know, because they change writers and stuff like that, I think I find myself gravitating now more towards creator-owned stuff. Scalped was an awesome book.
Yeah.
So it's more of the, like the adult-oriented comic book stuff.
Do you read the Daredevil, like the newest Daredevil one? I think
with Mark Waid?
2011, 2012 maybe. It starts with him like at a mafia wedding, like fighting the dude who's like a trans-dimensional vortex.
I don't know.
And it has a crazy spread where it just shows everything Daredevil perceives. Like,
I think that's the Mark Waid run. Yeah.
That was a pretty good.
I read that.
Yeah, that was an awesome one.
Like, Daredevil was like super good for so long because it was written by Bendis, and then Brubaker took it over, and then it kind of nosedived a little bit, and then they wrapped it up, and now they brought it back, and Mark Waid's kind of breathed new life into that book. It's really good.
And then have you ever read like Scott McCloud's like Understanding Comics?
No.
Oh, man. That's like basically a dude just breaking down why comics are an amazing medium, and he like goes through like basically it's like film theory or something for comic books and like how they break down time and why that's special for this medium and why it can't be any other medium. But Scott McCloud's Understanding Comics is a great like comics 101 for somebody who's like, comics, I just watch movies and read books. It's like, no, this is special because of this.
I don't find many people read books anymore.
Yeah. Books.
The three people who are like, I just read books.
I just read books. What's a television?
Hey, movies.
I'm getting the sign, guys.
Oh, let's wrap it up. Anyway, thank you so much for taking some time. I have a very busy day to sit down and talk with us. Ladies and gentlemen, let's give a big round of applause for the best in the world, CM Punk.
Thank you, CM Punk.
Thanks, guys. Everybody. Thanks, Audible.com. And thank you, Nerdist and Jessica Chobot, for being on the podcast. This has been the Face of Our Podcast. We're going to sign off here. I'm Freddie.
I'm Matt.
And I'm Dez.
Logan.
And we'll see you guys next time. Thanks very much, everybody.
Thanks for coming.
Thank you.
Enjoy your Comic-Con.